At Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education from our globally acclaimed faculty to you. Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university, online. That's a degree better. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Friends, welcome back to your favorite podcast. If this is your first time here, it is about time. We have been waiting for you. Welcome. This is episode 89, and I'm talking to my new friend, Lauren Lushak. She is a fellow podcaster, which I actually did not know at the time that we recorded this. But where I first found her, as usual, was on Instagram. What made me want to learn more about Lauren is the way she talks about God's word. She likes to call what she does everyday theology for gospel-centered living. She's also super funny, which is high on my list. In this chat, we cover when her handmade shop kind of bombed, what has calmed her gigantic fear of death. She tells us about a very practical way to have time with God, and there is a lot of funny stories thrown in as well. Before we get started, though, I wanted to say a special thank you to this episode's sponsor, Revelation Wellness. One thing I love about Revelation Wellness is that the women are dressed appropriately. You don't have to worry about them wearing basically nothing because my kids watch with me. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm doing anything, they need to be in my business. And so when in my business involves women on television who look like me, they're not just like perfect models. I know. You're saying, but you're a perfect model. I know, but not everyone's a perfect model like me. Do you know what I'm saying? But I love how they're regular women who are talking about moving. They're talking about the Lord. They're using scripture. And my kids are getting input from yet another godly woman about who God is and how he feels about them. And I'm just getting to work out. I mean, that's really multitasking. It's discipleship. It's exercise. It's awesome. You can find it at revelationwellness.org. Okie dokie, guys. Let's go ahead and get this show on the road. I humbly present to you my interview with Lauren. Oh, I'm so glad to talk to you.
Nice to meet you, Emily. I love your humor. You're hilarious.
I think you're so funny, too.
My goodness. I feel like I get too serious sometimes, so I like what you offer.
Oh, good. And I put everything is always a joke, so I need to get a little bit more serious.
Oh man, so how did you get started podcasting? I think I found you on Instagram first, and then you've been podcasting since like what, 2 years now? Three? How many?
No, not three. Maybe almost two. Maybe okay. One and a half.
That's amazing.
Not sure. Yeah. It's gone by fast.
Yeah. How did you decide to start one?
Honestly, I didn't like being a mom and I knew that I couldn't get out of it and I needed help. I wish it was more noble than that.
Like, I have an important message for everyone to hear.
Nope.
It's called Save Me.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Oh, that's basically goodness. What it was.
Okay. So it's like an outlet. It started that way, you think? Or?
Well, I mean, God said, do this podcast. And
okay.
I feel like I am able to say hard things in a way that is lighthearted.
Okay.
And I'm willing to say what everybody's thinking anyway. Most people aren't willing to say it. And so I felt like God said, start a podcast. And I said, well, no, I don't want to do that. But then when he also said, make it a mom podcast, I'm like, no, ew. Like, I felt so grossed out about that. But then he didn't leave me alone. And so I did it. So it was really because I didn't love being a mom, but I desperately want to do a good job.
Yeah.
But what do you do when you really don't like it? Like any other job, you just put in your notice and go on your merry way, go to school again, you know, and I can't like send them back anywhere. So, it was more out of desperation, but also obedience because God told me to. But what about you? Yeah. Honestly, I'm so embarrassed that I didn't realize that you had a podcast too. I knew you.
Oh, gosh.
I just want to know more about my guests. And as I was reading, I'm like, oh, I didn't even know. That's so great. So yours is mainly like a Bible study?
Yeah, it's She Proves Faithful. And it was just a way to, I love to teach and I love the word of God. And so We have women's training days at our churches. My husband, he's an associate pastor. And so I get to volunteer there and help disciple women in that way. And what I saw a couple years ago, I taught basically about how to get into the Word of God, how to have quiet times, really basic things. And women were like scribbling stuff down. Yeah. And I thought, oh my goodness.
They don't know.
Yeah. Some people, you don't, everybody's on a different journey. You've come from different places. I really came to know the Lord in college. And so I had that foundation laid early on. And so I looked around and I said, man, there's so many women who would love to meet with women, to be discipled, to have somebody pour into them. But there's just either none available or it's just nobody has time. And I have two little kids and I'm like, I can't meet with people regularly. And but I can speak into a microphone when, when they're asleep, you know, and so.
I love that too. Like I had an Etsy shop before and the better it went, the less time I had with my kids. Well, the better this goes, it does nothing different to my schedule at all. I love it.
That's so great. So you had an Etsy shop? You were a creator.
Yeah, I was, but that was not my wheelhouse. It was not terrible, but it was not great. Yeah.
Okay.
It was very mediocre.
I started off similarly with crafting. I just have this entrepreneurial like bug in me where I want to create and maybe just conquer mountains, like try something and see victory in it. And I would like sew these blankets and I did a craft fair. Man, that was like the biggest waste of money.
Oh no.
I realized that even though I like doing it, it doesn't mean that people are interested.
Yeah. Or they'll pay you like the tiniest amount and you're like, oh, that's not actually.
That was like 7 hours of work. So,
It's tricky. So you've got to, you've got to really find a thing that is worth your time and that you love. And I didn't find that, but I love this.
So. That's so great.
Anyway. Okay. So will you tell us about you? Tell us everything we need to know.
Oh, yes. Well, I am from Florida. I like putting that out there because I love the beach. I'm not from the beach, but I love the sunny state of Florida. I went to Florida State, and that's where I really came to know the Lord through an on-campus ministry. Somebody asked me if I wanted to read the Bible, and I was like, no, thanks.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like the cool college girl thing I was supposed to do.
Were you raised in a Christian home or not?
Well, nobody considers Florida the South except maybe me. Okay. But I feel like I was raised in a Bible Belt, and so it was culturally, everybody was Christian. Everybody went to a church, and I kind of grew up in and out of like a Baptist church, but I started to hear the gospel, I would say, through my Sunday school teacher later, like my senior year of high school. And that kind of put me into a place where I was curious about it in college.
Okay.
And then started, I mean, the Lord totally grabbed my heart. And
okay, so tell me about that. So someone says, you want to read the Bible? You're like, no way, Jose. Then what happened?
Oh, well, I was rushing for a sorority. Like I literally went to college thinking, there, I have a checklist. Right. Okay. There is things I need to accomplish, things I need to do. And Bible
wasn't on there.
Didn't even make page two. But I went with my best friend who, man, she knew Bible verses coming out of the womb. Like she just was so Bible literate and loved the Lord. Her family loved the Lord. And so we went together and her mom called her up and was like, Nikki, you need to go check out this campus group. They're so great. And so we went and that's when they were like, want to read the Bible? No, but they're persistent. I see them everywhere. They followed me, you know, not in a creepy.
Let me ask you though, you have a best friend who knows all about the Bible. That what did you think about that? Did that make you think, oh, maybe I should know or she's just a weirdo or what?
No, I loved her. I actually met her through a youth group that I had gone to because I wasn't unchurched. Like it was, like I said, everybody in my high school had some kind of youth group that they would go to. It was just like where the cool kids and the uncool kids, that was me, would hang out, you know, on a Friday or whatever. And so I met her through there, but it was just very like, wasn't in the word much. Didn't understand the gospel fully until college. So we were, I knew her in that context and I always looked up to her.
Okay.
And so,
awesome.
She wasn't a weirdo.
So good. Because there were some serious Christians who were super weirdos. So I'm just asking. All right. So you become a Christian. You start to have this major love for the Bible, which is one of the things that impressed me about you is that that is such a big deal. What do you think gave you that love of God's word? Because I think we all know as followers of Christ, we're like, quote unquote, supposed to, to love it and thirst for it like milk and you know, bread and all that. So how do you actually get there?
Yeah. Well, first of all, there have been times And I don't mean times like a season in my life, way back when I was a beginning Christian. I mean, recent seasons even where I'm like, I don't want to read the Bible. Like, I have no interest in it whatsoever. And I think that I had an honest conversation with my pastor's wife. So my husband's the associate pastor. So I asked her, I was like, Kristen, man, I just don't want to read the Bible. I wake up, I'm tired. I have no interest in it. It seems dry and boring. And she looked at me and she is like the sweetest, most kind, generous person I've ever met. The biggest cheerleader of everyone. I feel like you could do no wrong with her. Mm-hmm. And her sweetness looked at me and she goes, oh, well, Lauren, you just need to repent of that attitude. And I was like, whoa, like, what? Like, I'm not messing up here. Like, well, this is not a big deal. And it, I just think my mindset was wrong that I was going to the word of like, what could it give me rather than going to the word to glorify the Lord? And that we live in a world where, like, if you ever, have you ever gone to the beach and you stand on the seashore and that the waves wash over you and your feet kind of sink down in that sand and you just kind of have to pick them back up and set them back on? I feel like that's the world. God hasn't taken us out of it. And we have every day the world wash over us, you know, just from living here, through social media, through being at the grocery store, through TV, through everything, and even through our flesh, of what our flesh desires, things that are opposite of good and God glorifying. And so we kind of get sucked down into that, the sand and the heaviness of this world. And so the word of God just really sets us back on solid ground and we wash our minds in it and our hearts in it. And so I think on those days that I'm like, ugh, and when you go with an attitude of repentance and say, God, I, please forgive me that I don't want, like I'm saying, I don't want you, and please forgive me of that. And I saw just the slightest change when that happened for him to give me the effort to go to him. But I would say, like in college, there's a verse, Jeremiah 20, I think verse 9. And Jeremiah, he, you know, he's a prophet and he had a hard message, like a hard life.
He did.
Nobody liked him.
No. I was just talking today about how nobody likes prophets. Like, what a terrible. No. I just read in my study Bible said that they mainly had to like act out their prophecies too. So it's like bad news charades all the time. How terrible.
Totally. Yeah. Just not popular, not a popular message. And so I remember Jeremiah sitting here, like trying to tell people to repent and believe in God. And they're like, no, thanks. You're crazy. And he said, but if I don't mention you, if I don't speak anymore in God's name, his word is in my heart, like a fire burning in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Something like that. And I felt like the more I read the word, the more I hungered for it. And the more I was like, people have to know this. Like the word of God is living and active. The word exposes the dark places in our hearts and sin destroys. Like we want that exposure because it brings us towards Jesus and his grace. And so I think it started there where God just really encouraged me, but also through the discipline of like that girl who started reading the Bible, she talked about having quiet time where I would sit down, which was not what I thought. Like I was like meditation. I got colored pencils out to like draw. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
What are we doing here? Is this a girl from the
college?
Okay.
Yeah. Who asked me, you know, do you want to read the Bible? And so I eventually went through and she gave me the simple like ABC method. Okay. It was like A, analyze. What did you read? Ask questions about it. B, pick your best verse. And I liked that one because I was like, I feel like I can't mess up. Like you can pick your favorite verse. Nobody's going to tell you it's not your favorite.
That was the wrong favorite. Yeah.
Right. You're like, sorry, try again tomorrow. And then C was commit. So find something that you can try, like application. So God has just blessed me with the sweetness of his word. And thankfully through that, that organization also was really encourage you to memorize scripture, which
was it the Navigators?
Yeah, it totally was.
Mm-hmm. So good. Okay.
Yeah. And so I was not digging it at first and would throw this huge fit being, you know, like I know better than all of you. Just didn't want to do it. And then started to, and God just blessed those efforts and have used it in my life now. So I'm thankful for that.
And this was how long ago?
Oh man, I graduated college in 2005. So which, this is crazy, I memorized in college Isaiah 26:3, which says, he will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in the Lord. And in 2009, so fast forward, I graduated in 05, so 09, I had gone out on my first date with my now husband. Okay. And I was like totally enamored. I was so nervous he wouldn't give me the second phone call. Like I just was totally in love with him.
Okay.
And we went out on a Friday. And on Sunday, I was out hiking. I live in Colorado at the time, Colorado Springs. And I was hiking near my house. And as I was hiking, you know, all I wanted to pray about was this guy.
Like, of course.
God, please let him marry me. Like, give me a sign. I don't know. I was like so excited. And all I kept hearing is Isaiah 26:3. It was like on repeat, almost like stop. Like, I can't not think about it.
Okay.
And I get in my car. I'm on my way home and I see this dark plume of smoke coming from like where my apartments were.
Whoa.
And I get a phone call from my friend who lived in the same area. And she goes, Lauren, you need to come home because I think your house is on fire.
No.
Totally. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I go and they're like fire trucks everywhere. I couldn't even park like near it. I had to like park down below.
Was it your house?
Yeah, totally. I turn this corner. I see flames shooting out of my bedroom window.
What?
And the first thing I start thinking is, he will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. And I'm like, God, I didn't know how God would use that verse or how he'll continue to use that verse. But in that moment, years before I'd ever known that my house was going to burn down, God already planted his truth in my heart and his Holy Spirit recalled it. And at that perfect time, and I'm so grateful. And it was like this moment where I could have, I mean, it was very stressful and I can't say that I was like, oh, no problem, guys. Like, we'll figure it out. You know, you're like, all I'm thinking is like, oh, my jeans that fit well. You know?
That's so funny.
How do you get those back? But in the same way, I'm like, man, all those journals about guys I've liked in the past are all gone. And I don't even have to worry about
super them. Good. Yeah. Burn yeah. the evidence.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Man. So, I love that. He's so faithful to us. Like, I remember when we were overseas and we were trying to have kids and we just weren't getting pregnant. And some of our best friends were pregnant. And I didn't know that. But then that morning in my quiet time, and I can't remember the verse, but it was something about just the comfort that he gives us. And I don't know if it was the God of all comfort one, but that just really was my favorite verse, right, of the day. And then they called us and said we're pregnant and that they had been praying that God would bring me comfort and prepare me for that. And so, Jeff, that's just, he does it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but if we're not in his word, we miss all the sweetness that he wants to give us.
Yeah. And I think in Psalm 19, it talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Mm. And I'm like, sometimes we look at those verses and we're like, it's just poetic and it sounds good on a greeting card. But I'm like, no, like that's the truth of God. And it says his word revives our soul. And you can think of like, what's revived, but dead things that are dying, my plants in my, you know, backyard.
Mine too. Yes. So mothers, like, you know, like we're like, we'll
I know. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And God's word does that. And so it makes me sad when I refuse such a life-giving source. But then there's so much grace for God. So he constantly calls us back to him. And so even if we haven't been in the word in a while, we don't have to approach him like embarrassed or not just like walk in confident, like, hey, God, I know you're going to accept me anyway, but with that heart of repentance and he immediately forgives. It says his mercies are new every morning. Mm-hmm. And so we shouldn't fear approaching him because we haven't done enough, you know?
Right. Exactly. And I do think that we so many times do. We just look the other way because we're embarrassed and we know we messed up. And instead of going, well, he knows we messed up too. He knew we were going to mess up before we even were born. So,
right.
Yeah. It's one of those relationships. Not every relationship is like this, but it just gets better.
Yes. You know?
And I hate for people to be missing out on that. And I'm not pleased to say that, I mean, I went to Bible college and we served overseas telling people about the Lord for a couple of years. And I still only in the past four years or so I'm like, holy cow, this stuff is amazing. The Lord is a really, really good writer. And the things he says are 100% true. And I am so much better off when I abide with him and don't make it about a checklist and don't make it about, you know, only the pens and how much of a journal I fill out and all this dumb stuff that I make it about.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You're right. It does only get better.
It does. So you said that your struggle is fear and anxiety. Excuse me. And so what did that always look like that? So I know some people get really anxious when they become moms or they have a traumatic event. Were you always anxious?
Oh, yeah. This is going to sound like I was the strangest kid, but even as a little girl, I was so afraid of dying. Like, I remember walking through a lunch line and picking up a chocolate milk and thinking, oh my gosh, is this the last chocolate milk I'm ever going to drink? Or like, do you remember when Pocahontas came out?
Yes.
It was like such a big deal. I wanted to go see it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if I don't see Pocahontas before I die? And
just wow, like, okay.
Totally consumed with it. And it's not like I was morbid or wore black, but I, like I said, we were culturally Christian, meaning like we believed there was a God, but without the truth of who God is and without knowledge of the gospel, like there is complete fear. And I remember asking my mom, like, how can I know I'm going to heaven? I was so afraid of hell and I was so afraid of punishment because I knew deep down I was not good. You know, I messed up. I didn't know what sin was, but I knew that I had issues even as a little kid. And she was like, you know, honey, there's just no certain way. And because she didn't know. And I'm like, that just like,
very scary.
Yeah, totally. And so when your mom, who you like absolutely look up to and love and adore, has no clue, then you're like, I am in a world of hurt.
Shoot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I remember in childhood just having a fear. I think it was fear of dying mostly, but it translated into performance. You know, I don't know who God is, but certainly if I want to go to heaven, then I need to perform for him. So it looked like good grades, and it was fearing having bad grades, and it translated into fear of failing and fear of not being perfect.
Yeah. Grew up going to a church that had communion every week. And my church doesn't do it every week at where I go now, but I remember thinking that's what made it to where I could go to heaven. And so once you took that, you had to be perfect until
next week.
Yeah. And then my mom would take me sometimes to the service that didn't have it every week. And I was like, no, because what if there's a car accident and I know I'm gonna yell at my brother on the way home? Yeah. And, you know, I remember feeling that same fear.
Yeah. So do you think that's a common fear? Like, I don't talk about death all the time, so I don't hear that.
Well, I am an anxious person too.
Okay.
So I think we're like cut from the same cloth. So maybe not common.
Right. Okay.
But common to us.
But there were movies you wanted to see before you died.
Yes. So funny.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And so when I became a believer, things got better because I started to learn about salvation and that Jesus, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us and all these amazing truths. And so that was good. But there was still part of me that just feared death and also struggled with anxiety in general. And 3 months after I got married to Andy, the guy, the apartment burned down guy.
Oh, you married him.
He got married.
Congratulations.
He did call. He's like, can I come down and visit you? Because we lived in separate cities. And I was like, my apartment's burning down. He's like, well, you could just say, you know, you need to shampoo your hair if you don't want to hang out.
So
and I was like, no, I'm not lying.
It for sure is burning down.
Yeah. And it was like pre-iPhones. And so I was like, I can't even like prove it like with a picture. So
just going to have to believe me. Oh, yeah. That's hysterical.
Anyway, so 3 months into our marriage, I have congenital heart disease. So I was born with a heart defect. And I had my first operation when I was 11 months old. They removed my pulmonary valve because it was stenosed. It was hardened. Mm-hmm. And blood couldn't get to my lungs and therefore, you know, to my body.
Problem.
And they cut it out. And then they gave me like this clean bill of health saying, you're fine.
Really?
No worries.
What were your restrictions? Any?
Nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
No. Okay.
It's like, you're healthy. You had a successful surgery. I rocked this really cool chest scar. You know, I don't remember anything about it, of course. And so I grew up my whole life thinking, man, I'm like superwoman. I have like this bionic heart. And then I turned, 28? And I go into a cardiologist just for a regular checkup. He was like a coronary heart specialist. Like, I didn't even know what he was doing. And he's like, you need open heart surgery.
What? No.
I know. I was like, who are you? Like, to tell me.
How dare you?
Yeah. So that was like,
what was the problem?
My heart had no valve in the pulmonary valve area. Okay. I'm not a science person, but.
Well, and I'm a nurse and I'm still like, okay, yeah, I get it. I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know the right words.
Yeah. Your heart is working so hard. And my right ventricle had expanded 3 times the size. And the heart can only get so big until it's like a rubber band and it just wears out and gives up and you go into congestive heart failure. And my right ventricle had tripled in size. And they're like, listen, you need to go have surgery. And we began this wild goose chase around Denver of trying to find a surgeon. And God is so faithful and so kind because we went to a surgeon who's like, I do like a pulmonary valve once every 3 years. And he's like, I could do it, but you need to see a congenital heart specialist. And I didn't even know that existed. Like, I was clueless. I didn't even know I had that, you know. Yes. It was just, anyway, so.
Nobody ever saw it before this guy?
I had gone for checkups growing up, but it was, you know, everything, I guess, looked fine. Okay. But I hadn't been in a long time to see a doctor, and so I guess.
Getting married and all the
exactly,
things.
Exactly, yeah, and all, you know, playing around, and I don't know if altitude, like, I'm from Florida, I don't know if being in higher altitude all of a sudden caused stress on my heart. I have no idea.
Okay.
But I needed surgery, found a surgeon. So it's January now. It's not even, we're like still 3 months away from our wedding anniversary, and I have to have open heart surgery. And it was just like, I reached this crossroads of like, I literally felt like I had to write my death date on a calendar, you know. Wow. January 11th, I'm going to die. And you know, wow. Like, isn't God so kind? I say that. Like, my biggest fear is dying, which we're all going to do. So it's like, at one point I'm going to come in contact, you know, I have to face this fear, but yes. Like, I have to write this down. And I came to this crossroads of like, do I trust God? Do I really believe God is true? Do I really believe his word is true? Or am I going to go off like the crazy cliff? Mm-hmm. Because I cannot handle the stress of thinking about, what if I'm going to die? What if, you know, what if I have a stroke during surgery? What if I don't wake up? What if I'm paralyzed afterwards? What if I can't speak? I'm not even a year into my marriage. Like, I had all these what ifs going on in my head. And yeah. During the Advent season, so just a couple weeks before my surgery, our pastor had preached about joy as one of the Advent specials. Mm-hmm. And you know what he preached on is Romans 8:28-30, which is a really popular verse. Like, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so that's always been like such a Christian slogan of like, yeah. God has good for you. And we leave it there. And our pastor was like, the joy of that is that God wants to conform you to the image of his son. The verse keeps going. Like, the good we think is like our dreams and God coming into our life and doing what we want. In verse 29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And so there's this bigger picture than just my dreams. Yes. Of like, a flourishing, sweet first year of marriage. Like, that's good, but God has so much greater involved than we could ever imagine. And it looks like moving away from sin and moving, like being sanctified and becoming more like Christ, because sin destroys, but Jesus gives life and the abundant life. And so I saw in this that my joy was to believe that whether I was going to die or be paralyzed, that it was going to be for my good. And that was so hard to wrestle with, but it gave me peace. And for the first time, I felt like that anxiety kind of melted away, that I had the opportunity to trust God, that he would do good, and that I had to believe that his good was better than my good. So I had that truth of foundation. And I'll tell you, like, surgery day came and I'm laying back there, like, drawing all over you with purple markers. Uh-huh. And I'm like, do I need this surgery? I'm like asking everybody. I'm like pulling people in, you know, grandpa.
The janitor.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. You know, grandpa's over there getting his knee replaced and he's got 20 members around him, like, all worried. I'm like, guys, my heart, you know, like, totally melt. I'm meltdown.
28.
Yeah. So they give me, the anesthesiologist comes in, he like gives me like the good stuff, the juice. And I wish I could say, man, I just meditated on the scriptures and like, I was totally fine. I was like, no, I needed the juice. And then things got a lot better.
Okay.
And I just kind of like submitted to the Lord, and they're wheeling me back.
Didn't
to
have a choice.
I know, yeah. Right? I'm like falling asleep. I'm like, in your hands, God. I physically can't do anything.
Oh, man. Do you know where I could get some of that?
Right? Oh, my gosh. Oh, goodness. Yeah. So the last thing I say to my husband, it wasn't like, I love you, or you're the greatest husband in the world, or like, God has good plans. I was like, I looked at him in the eyes. I was like, I feel better now. And that was it.
Last words.
My last words. But they weren't, because I'm still here. And
spoiler alert, you made it.
So that kind of was like that crossroads of like, Lauren, it's time to get serious about who God is. And, you know, Jesus says, if you're truly my disciples, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And the truth is God's word. And I felt like God's like, you got to get serious about this. You can't know a fake image of me, because if you believe something that's wrong about me, it's not going to really be comfort for you. And if you don't believe the truth, it won't be comfort. And so I started studying the characteristics of God. I started studying anxiety relievers that he gives us, because I was like, I got to face this head on now. And so, and started that whole repent and believe thing where it was like anxiety was me not placing my faith in God. So I had to repent. I had to say, I'm sorry, God, I don't trust you right now. I trust myself. I have better judgment than you, you know, and then saying, please forgive me. And then replacing it with the truth. And sometimes it looked like every minute, like the same thing going to the Lord, but he's growing my faith and it's so rich and it's so wonderful. And I'm so grateful for that.
So for a mom who feels like if she does have to do it every minute and that makes her believe a lie that this is not for her, what would you say to that mom who feels discouraged because she doesn't see the progress? She doesn't see God working in her life.
Yeah, that's really good because it's not a magic pill, like, or, you know, repentance and belief isn't, you know, like, voila, here we are. And if we do it enough, like, it'll magically work. And
we won't need God anymore. That's what we ultimately want, is to not need God.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And he wants us to need him. We need him. He wants to show us that need. And so maybe we'll just keep being in that cycle for a lot longer than we thought. But
my husband always says it can only last a lifetime. Like, that's not funny.
I love that.
I don't appreciate that. He always says it at the worst time. I know. And it's always when it's my problem.
Yeah, right? You're like, can I remember this when you have an issue?
I know.
Like, tuck it away. I think that, like we've been talking about the power of the word, we need to have a verse or something that we can read and then let it go. And I don't know who it was recently that was like, sometimes we worry and we're constantly praying about it. Sometimes we just need to pray and then step away, like repent, believe the truth, and just force yourself to not think about it. Give your 10 minutes.
As if you were trusting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're going to test it out. But, and then to remember, I think this is my favorite truth, is that we need to know the gospel. And my husband used to say this irritating thing to me all the time, probably like your husband, you know, the lifetime thing. He would be like, I'd tell him all my problems. And he'd be like, well, how does the gospel apply to this? And I'm like, the gospel?
Conversation over.
Yeah. And I was like, how does Jesus's death and resurrection make any, like, I just didn't ever relate the two. Yeah. And then as I've grown in my walk with the Lord, I'm realizing that because Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead and our sins are forgiven, like, that has implications for everything, and that he is our anchored hope. And even if we're hopeless, that hope doesn't go away. Yeah. And so to just trust in those times when we're really anxious and we're just trying, we're at the very end. As mothers, we know we can't even hope anymore, to say, well, we don't have to right now, because it says Jesus is the anchor, that he's our hope, and that he's never going away. He's already interceded for us. He's interceding for us now. He's gone behind, you know, the Holy of Holies to forgive us of our sins, and to know that that is enough for us in that moment. And I just think to dwell on those things.
Okay, so the dwelling. So if a mom does feel completely hopeless, and this seems really great in theory, can you walk through, like, what does your time with the Lord look like? You said, I loved the ABC. That's very simple. What about if someone feels like they don't have enough time? And because God is our hope and all those things are so, so good. But if you are just feeling so dry and it doesn't seem like just flat words on a page, how do you make them pop up and come to life?
Oh, for sure. Well, I think, first of all, sometimes we just need to kick ourselves in the booties, because I feel the same way of like, well, I just don't have time. Like, when we make time for what's important for us, and I'm not saying, like, I was the journaler because all my journals burned in that fire. Yeah. I could fill up a journal in a month. I love to write and to pray. And like, I was like writing Bible commentary practically. It was so good, you know?
Okay. Oh, man.
It wasn't really.
Hey, if you say so. They all burned. You can say whatever you want about them.
Yeah. I was like, one day somebody's going to publish these when I die. It's just going to be so rich. No, those are done. But when I became a mom, like, do you know when I journal? When I'm at church on Sundays and my kids are in Sunday school and like I'm like writing down notes. I don't do it anymore. And I like, there's freedom in that. But at the same time, we still have to be disciplined during the week. And so I think we need to look at that and say, like, there's abundant life in Christ. If we truly believe that, if we truly believe that the truth will set us free, then we need to go after it any way that looks. And for me, honestly, it looks like in the morning before social media. That's almost like my goal.
Okay.
Like, if I read the Bible, I get to go on Instagram. Like, okay. Sounds so.
No, it doesn't.
Cheesy, but I'm like, it's a trigger in my mind. And so I get there and my kid you know, I need to go nurse him, but I'm like, let me read the Bible first so I can look at Instagram while I'm nursing him or whatever. Mm. But to be washed in that right away. And some days it is, I'll be honest, like a checklist. But other days, like, I'm like, let me pick one truth to dwell on. And it's just been so good. And then to get into the word with my kids is huge.
What does that look like?
Oh, man. Well, I have small kids. So I have one that's about to be four and then one who turned one. So the 1 year old, you know, is completely a mess. And the 4 year old is usually just singing and rolling on the ground. So it looks different every day, but I read the word with them and I ask simple questions. We have a million different tools. Like, we have a Bible that has pictures in it, and I look at the picture and we do general principles about who God is. But at night, when I put my daughter to bed, the first thing I do as she's going to bed is I read a chapter of the word. And she's always like, can you tell me what's going on? Because she has no idea. Mm. So I read it first and then I give her a brief little synopsis. But I'm like, the word of God, it says that it does not return void. Like, it comes down like rain and it achieves a purpose for which God has sent it. And so I don't sit there and be like, well, this is doing no good. It's one, it's washing me in the truth. Like, that whole sand picture, the world will weigh you down. Mm-hmm. And if we really want that hope, we need to know the word to be set free and pick our feet out of that mud again and set it back on top. And so just to even do that with my daughter, she might be off in La La Land, but even for me, it's good. And then for her, I believe that the Lord is planting seeds of truth in her as she grows. So those are two ways. Good.
I love it. It's really practical. One chapter, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I loved what you said, just not believing that it doesn't make any difference. Like, when my kids are, I'll say, like, what would you like to pray about? And here I'm thinking, like, human trafficking and politics. Yeah. and I'm not hoping that they'll say those things, but I am hoping they'll say, I remember you saying not every child has shoes. Let's pray for them. But they're like, it's all ridiculous things that they want to pray about. And then I get frustrated. I'm like, have you learned nothing? I don't say that, but this is all my internal dialogue, is these children are hopeless. Right. And it's, I don't think they're hopeless, but just, and my husband's always like, they are new here. Calm down. Just model the thing. But I'm only really keen on modeling when they're already doing it anyway. Yeah. But then they don't need me to model, right? So I think it's really good. We need to not look for fruit when they are teeny tiny and don't care about that.
Yeah.
Like, my daughter still crawls around pretending like she's a wolf on the ground. Like, we're not at the point where we're caring about kids with no shoes. And that's okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's so fun. What do you do with your kids?
Well, so we have this thing, we call it the bowl of rocks. That is not what it's called, but it's like a conversation starter that we pass around the table. And it's like, where have you seen God? And, you know, new directions. And so me and my husband always try to, no, we don't try to, but we just kind of direct the conversation. And it's like, what do you remember? And where have you, what are new directions? And what was your highs and lows? And so we do that with conversations. And then we do a lot of talking about God and stuff. I wish that I could say I was better about, like, morning devotionals, but I like can't talk until I have coffee. I just, you know, and I try to get up early, but then sometimes I get up early, have a quiet time, and then no one's up yet. And I'm like, I'm going back to bed. So then by the time the kids wake up, I've already been up, but I've already gone back to bed. So it's like starts over by not being able to talk. You know? Oh, it's such a problem. So and also bedtime, I'm so tired by the end of the day. I just like, put them in there and peace out. So we do pray. And now that the cool thing in the Thomas house is to also pray, the kids fight over who prays, which I'm like, okay, well, that's fine.
That's not a bad thing to fight over.
It's not. Before it was like fight over like who had to say some words to the Almighty God. I'm like, come on. It's so bad. Anyway, so I took my daughter to this prayer meeting we had at church, and she was like, that was so boring. There was nothing to do but, like, listen to music. I said, and talk to the creator of the universe. Oh, my gosh. Whatever. Oh,
they're so honest.
They are.
They're so honest. Oh, well, you know, just this past Sunday, my kids, if they want to sit in church, I let them, because I'm like, they get to see how, you know, we worship. Mm-hmm. This is where they'll be. Like, I want them to be a part of it. But there's rules. River, my daughter, if she comes into church, she has to sit there and listen. There's no books. There's no doodling. Oh, there's no snacks. And so this past Sunday, she's like, yep, Mom, I'm going to do it. She sits there and it never goes well, you know. And of course, like a good pastor's wife, I go sit at the very front. And not because, like, It's honestly because there's no other seats by the time I get there.
Okay.
I'm like making it in the last worship song. You know, we run up to the front and so I'm there, and usually I don't have my son with me either, but he was just real fussy. So I was like, you get to sit on my lap, River sitting next to me, and everybody needs water. You know, I can't deprive them of water, of course. And so I knock over my water bottle, like right as the pastor gets up to preach.
Perfect.
And the lid pops off and water's everywhere. Like,
so good.
And I'm like, do I go get paper towels? Like, this is going to be a bigger scene than it needs to be. And so I just like, I'm just leaving it there. Yep. I just spilled water and I was like, praise the Lord, it wasn't coffee or like a smoothie or tuna fish.
Could have been worse.
Could have been
a
worse.
Curry of some sort.
Exactly. So we're a hot mess too. And I think, like, you know, they talk about habits. It's so easy to lose, but it's so good when we gain them. I get most discouraged when I have, like, I want to accomplish 15 spiritual things for my kids in a day. You know, like, oh, and then you get to the end of the day. I'm like, we didn't even pray today. Mm-hmm. And then you feel terrible. And instead, just be like, have one little goal of like, we're going to read one verse today, or we're going to, this month, we're going to memorize a verse together, or, mm-hmm. you know, something really mm-hmm. small that you can achieve.
We do play Spot the Lie when we're watching television, which we don't watch a lot of TV, but I have the remote, which they hate, and but I hate when they have it, so there. And so we'll be watching a show. We love VidAngel, but they got rid of it. You know, VidAngel, where you could take out things you didn't want to hear and scenes
they
you didn't want to see.
It?
Well, they're in court because people don't like us being able to filter what goes into our homes.
Okay.
But anyway, I may or may not have strong opinions about that. But anyway, we'll be watching a show if they want to watch something for movie night. And so anytime there's something that comes up that's not quite right, I'll pause it and say, spot the lie. And they have to say, okay, well, she shouldn't have rolled her eyes, or he shouldn't say that, or, you know, whatever.
Awesome.
And we don't move on until they can spot the lie. And so they will be like, this was the wrong thing to say. Start it. You know, but whatever. You know?
That's so good. I love that. It gets them. It develops critical thinking skills, you know, as even children. That's so good.
Fun for me. Because it
yeah, right.
It's so funny. But, you know, we're watching like shows where dogs are talking because of like computer animation. It's so everybody's irritated, but for different reasons. Oh, my gosh.
You're like, you will suffer with me.
Yes. So, okay, we are almost, like, we are out of time. We're over time.
Okay.
This was so fun. Will you tell me, what can you not stop talking about right now?
Okay, so have you heard of sourdough starter?
Yes.
Okay, you do sourdough starters?
I don't. I do not. Okay. But I know there's, like, friendship bread, and that kind of has some kind of a starter.
Yeah. I don't know. My friend has been talking about it for probably 5 years, and she's one of my best friends. She lives down the street, and finally, for my birthday, she handed me this jar of, like, this smelly, pasty dough stuff, and she's like, this will grow if you feed it, and it'll make delicious bread. And it like sat on my fridge for probably 3 weeks. I was like, I'm not touching that. But it's just like this.
How do you feed it?
You feed it with bread and water. And basically what you're creating, the sourdough starter it's like a natural yeast. It's collecting probiotics and yeast in the air. I don't know.
There's air?
Yeah. Like it grabs things from the air. And so it's fermenting, right? And so it's creating a natural yeast and rise. Somebody probably knows about this. One of your listeners is going to be so ashamed that I'm saying all these wrong things.
And I'm ashamed with them. How dare you say those types of things?
How dare you?
I'm pre-ashamed.
You are not representing sourdough starters well. But you have to measure out flour and water. And if you keep it in warm, like room temperature, you have to feed it every day. But then if you keep it in your fridge, you feed it like once a week. It's like a little pet and it grows. Literally, it rises in the jar. And so then you find these recipes that you can bake with. So they'll, like, my favorite is a pizza crust now. It was terrible at making
pizza. I
saw that
on Instagram. It looked amazing.
I should have taken a before and after of my pizzas, how they used to look. Like, the crust was soggy. Nobody would eat it. They would just, like, kind of eat around the crust and peel off the cheese. I'm like, I'm terrible. But this stuff is magic. And so I've used it, and it's changed our life. But apparently, when you ferment your doughs, you can even reduce, like, if you're gluten sensitive, not like intolerant, but if you have sensitivities, it's been known that, like, it was in Reader's Digest, it's easily digestible for people with intolerances, and it's just healthier for your body. So I'm experimenting. I'm like going on 4 weeks here with the sourdough, but I love it.
That is
awesome.
Neat. I love it. And you just find sourdough starter recipes?
Yeah, I think you have to start out with yeast. And so either somebody has to give you sourdough starter already, that like a cup of theirs that they've already had going.
So you need a contact.
Then you go.
You need an in.
You do. Yeah, like the friendship bread. You got to add something to it and then you divide it.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to friend. Or you can go online. They sell starter kits. I'm assuming it has yeast in it already, and then you add it to your flour and water.
Does everything taste like sourdough bread, or you can make a bunch of different stuff with it?
You can make a bunch of different stuff. It depends. I don't know. Some has
You're
the,
new here.
Yeah, exactly. Don't ask me.
Okay. You've already said too much.
All I have to say is people love my pizza now. And by people, I mean the people in my household. So I will forever use it for that.
So good. You've really got a great friend there. Keep her.
I know, right? She's special.
Well, Lauren, seriously love talking to you.
Thank you.
So fun.
Likewise.
Thank you for what you do on the World Wide Web. You are seriously a joy. I love hearing from your brain.
Awesome.
Love it. Yes.
Thank awesome. You.
I know I say this every week, but that was like really one of my favorite episodes. I love talking to her. Something that I want to pull out from what she said and that I've seen in friends of mine who came to faith later in their lives, they tend to feel less than, like they're behind, like because of that, they're less spiritual and whatever. And I gotta just say, that's a lie from your enemy who hates your guts. Lauren did not know God until college or after, and then you see what God has done in her life. You know, don't you dare let yourself believe you're disqualified, because it's a complete lie. My husband has like the most faith of anybody I've ever known, and he didn't even become a Christian until he was in his 30s. And if you find somebody who has been walking with the Lord for a long time and they are honest, they will tell you that half the time they feel disqualified too, like they don't have enough faith. So it's not just you, it's all of us. Welcome to the club. I literally cannot count the number of times I have told my husband I have no business doing a mom podcast. I'm the worst mom in the world. I've said that so many times. So we all feel disqualified. I was also so encouraged when she talked about Bible time with her kids and how it looks like a complete circus. Do it anyway. Do it even if it feels like nothing is getting in those heads. Sometimes I feel like the only thing that sticks in my son's head are bad words. If he shouldn't say it, that's definitely what he's going to say. I wanted to share a resource, and I put this in the show notes at momstrugglingwell.com, but something that I found for super cheap at a used bookstore was a book called Sticky Situations, and it's a devotional for every day of the year, and it is like a very short paragraph of a kid who's gotten themselves in a pickle, just some made up little story, very short. My son is 5 and he is even super into it. And then it's A, B, C, or D, what should that kid do? And then a Bible verse, and then like 3 follow-up questions. And they're super into it because it's problems they're currently dealing with. Then it kind of, the questions turn it to them. And there's been a lot of light bulb moments where my kids are like, oh, okay, I get it. We're like supposed to apply this to our lives. So anyway, it's been really good, very easy. And I can even do it while I'm having coffee, while I'm waking up, because it's something even I can wrap my brain around early in the morning. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Lauren said this week? Maybe you loved her quiet time strategy, ABC. So analyze, pick your best verse, and commit to using it sometime in your life that day. Love it. Could not be more simple. I cannot tell you how much it's changed my life to read one chapter, find one verse, and see how it applies to your life. I double dog dare you to do it. Maybe your strategy to struggle well this week needs to be a step of obedience. Her and I talked in the beginning about how this podcast was that for me. I had no intention of doing this, especially not on this topic. But God said to, and I did, and I'm telling you what, I'm a different person. So what have you been avoiding that you feel like you should do because he told you to? Consider starting that this week. Maybe this week you find Lauren's podcast, She Proves Faithful, and you start listening to that. After you listen to this one, of course. Come on, need to know where your loyalties lie. Okay, guys? She's always gonna have to be number 2. And if she's number 1, don't tell me, okay? Maybe your strategy to struggle well could be that if you're not currently walking with the Lord, but you're wondering why all these kooky Bible people keep pursuing you in your life, just like happened to Lauren, I would encourage you to read the Bible. Have you ever seen Neverending Story? I watched it tons as a kid, but as an adult watching it again, it's super weird. But this book in Neverending Story is alive and it's magical and it's just so riveting. And the boy ends up seeing himself in the book. You guys, that is what God's word is like. You've heard on this podcast, women talk about how it is living and it's alive. And that's because it is. It's the darndest thing. I can't even explain it other than God made it and he can do stuff like that. If you're not currently following God, you've never read the Bible, you have nothing to lose. You don't even have to tell anybody you're doing it. Hide in your closet, read the book of John or something and ask God to speak to you. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you've heard multiple women say that God has told them things. I promise you, I'm not finding these women in the nut house. These are like regular women who have a supernatural connection with their creator. He's also your creator. Maybe you have been walking with the Lord for a while, but you've been noticing that you're kind of dreading or avoiding completely getting into God's word. I love Lauren's pastor's wife's suggestion to just repent. And that might seem harsh, but also, if we're honest with ourselves, we know it's right on. I had to do that this week myself. I loved what she said about Isaiah 26:3 and how she memorized it and then found that it was just coming to mind right before her house burned down. Maybe this week you pick a verse and you memorize it. Hide God's word in your heart. There is no better use of your time. Maybe your strategy to struggle well this week, you need to get your best jeans in a fireproof box of some sort. I'm just saying, maybe you're living just a little too close to the edge and you need to make a contingency plan for those good fitting jeans. Don't be irresponsible. And maybe you could identify what Lauren said about how she pray worries and you could benefit from just praying and walking away, saying, I trust you, Lord. Here's my issue. I know you've got this, and then move on. Maybe you can ask yourself, how does the gospel apply to this? Like her husband does. Maybe this week you make sure to have a quiet time before you get on social media. Maybe you need a sourdough starter pet. Lots of options. You've got your work cut out for you this week. Really though, pick one thing, write it down, put it in front of your face, and struggle well this week. As always, please come find the Mom Struggling Well community on Instagram. You can find show notes with links to everything that I've mentioned and also ways to support this podcast at momstrugglingwell.com. And as always, before you go to Amazon, first go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon. It'll go right to the Amazon page, but you'll be using the show's affiliate link and helping to support the costs associated with making the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. All right, y'all, it's been such a pleasure to be in your ear holes today. Does that sound inappropriate? I hope you have a great week of struggling well.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all.